Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, the Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, reading from Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 14. Moreover, I will make thee waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, Yahuwah, have spoken it, when I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. So will I send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. I, Yahuwah, the Lord, have spoken it. We're going through Ezekiel these days, and those are the final words from chapter 5. Of course, Ezekiel, living in Babylon, carried away by the king of Babylon in the first captivity. This is 5 years into his captivity, and this is the same captivity, I believe, that Daniel was taken away in. And 5 years into the captivity, Ezekiel, by the river Chebar, in the land of the Chaldeans, yes, the Babylonians, receives the word of our Creator. And a prophetic word it is for the demise and the doom, really, the judgment. For the overspreading of abominations, the Creator declares that He will make it desolate. And that is exactly what happens. We're moving on to Chapter 6 of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord, in the King James Version, the Lord is the 3068, Yahuwah, by name. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God. And this is a variation on the name Yahuwee. So everyone who thinks that there's only one way to say it, and that's whatever. As everyone knows, I've been teaching the name for many years, and what I believe is the correct pronunciation. And I hear others out there that are adamant saying they have the correct pronunciation. And some will say Jehovah. Sounds great to everybody. However, total mispronunciation if we went through that in the word. And perhaps we'll take a little aside since we're in no big hurry. And that was derived from the 3068, Yahuwah. And if you have your e-sword, I can show it to you right now. It says from H 1961, the self-existent or eternal. And it says, and this is from the Strong's, Jehovah, Jewish national name of God. Well, I don't think so. If you go over there to the nation called of the Jews today, the Jewish national country, Israel, and you will find anyone saying Jehovah. And it says Jehovah the Lord. And one way to check this out is if you go over to your 1611, you can have that in parallel. They would have pronounced this, okay? If you look into the pronunciation of the original 1611, it would have been Yah, because J, the J is silent. So it wouldn't have been Jah, it would have been Yah, Ho, and the V also was not pronounced with a V sound like we have it today. If you look at your 1611, you'll find that U's and V's are interposed, and that a W is really a double U, But today we have it as a double V, so even our letters and the pronunciation of our letters have changed since we received the 1611. So the correct pronunciation would not be Jah, it would be Yah, as in Yah, Hallelujah, because we don't say Hallelujah, Yahoo. And the V would have been silent in the 1600s when it was written. And it wouldn't be Va, it would be Wa. So it would be Yahuwah. And that would be the correct pronunciation for the name as far as I can determine. Also, if anyone's really interested in the correct pronunciation of the name, I have a fairly exhaustive paper posted on my website at Cross the Border. Go to the Bible Studies page there, and you'll see some study pages with links, and one will say the name. So you can thoroughly exhaust the subject there and come to the conclusion that I've come to. Now, many people like to say Jehovah, and they're comfortable with that because people have been saying Jehovah for years, and it's written into, you know, hundreds of songs. And I love all those songs, regardless of the mispronunciation of the name, as long as they're in keeping with the scripture. I do have a problem sometimes. You know, I've been in some congregations where they use the old hymnals, and I would read some of the words of the old hymns and find them just reprehensible, really, in that they do not stick very close to scripture at all. Yeah, but for the most part, they're pretty good. Some people like to say Yahweh. I've got real comfortable with Yahweh. I used to say that too many years ago. You know, but even back in like the 70s and 80s of the last century, for those of you who were cognizant then and aware and alive as I was, they were singing some songs like Yahweh Love and things like that, and using the name Yahweh. And that's comfortable too. And a lot of people, you get comfortable with something and you don't want to depart from it. And that now there's people, you know, they're disregarding the middle syllable and they're saying Yahoo, or is it Yahwah? That's it. That's the other one. Yahweh, Yahwah. It's kind of similar. Almost the same thing. A little more comfortable than saying Yahuwah. You know, just leaving out the middle syllable there. And if you're comfortable with that, well, go ahead and continue using Yahweh or Yahwah. I don't see much difference there. And however, we have here something peculiar if you're in Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 3. And I've touched on this a little bit, but I thought I'd go into a little depth here today. It says in verse 3 of chapter 6 of Ezekiel, it says, "And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." And that's just capitalized. That means the first letter is capitalized in L-O-R-D 136 in the Hebrew, translated from Adonai. So the equivalent of Adonai or Adonai or Adonoi, however you spell it. I mean, however you pronounce it, any of those will do. For me anyway, for my purposes here, the English equivalent for the translated word Adonai or Adonai, however you want to say it, would be L-O-R-D, Lord. That's right, because there are lords many. You know, I have been a landlord. Oh my goodness, you know, I've owned property and rented it out before. I've had landlords, and there are other lords. And then there is the Lord of Lords, you know, the one and only, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the one true God. Yeah, because there's only one true God. God's many, but there's only one true God. All the others are false. But there are lords many, and they're not false. You know, a lord, a small, even some people have it in their title. But here it is the word Adonai, in the Hebrew translated into Lord. And usually the name or the word in the Hebrew Elohim is translated God, because there are gods many. And even the Messiah says, for the word says that ye are gods. And the word Elohim was used for judges, you know, because they judge. That makes them kind of, you know, small g gods, but not the worshipful gods. So It's a funny thing. People get carried away on these things. And some people, you know, what I found really funny is that, you know, some Jews or Hebrews, or then you have this Messianics, they won't spell. I mean, they won't even spell the word God because they have this tradition in Judaism and they're emulating Judaism, you know, the Talmudic Babylonian religion of Judaism, the ones that the scribes and the Pharisees practiced, and they wouldn't utter the name because they were afraid to blaspheme it or use it in vain. So they just stopped using the name altogether. So when these people write, they write G-D instead of God, as if God was his name. It's really, I don't know, I guess it's serious if you really have that conviction and you have to do that. You know, you should do it because I wouldn't want you to be condemned in yourself. So, but anyway, going on here, we're back in chapter 6, verse 3, and it says, hear the word of Adonai. And then it says in the authorized King James Version, it has all uppercase God, G-O-D. And it's not even a translation because it doesn't say Adonai Elohim. It says Adonai Yahuwah. Yeah, imagine that. So I guess I could say Yahuwah because here it is in the Hebrew in the 3069. That's one letter, one numeral up from the 3068, the name, the Tetragrammaton, which is the 3068 Yahuwah. So I could say Yahuwah, I could say Yahuwah. And I guess all those people that are going Yahweh, they can go Yahweh, Yahuwah, and Yahweh. See, we have a little license here from the Word of God in the original language itself to use variations on the name. And I'm going to stick to the variations he gave me, but I'm not going to condemn anyone or say, you must not be saved because you're not saying it the same as me. Because right here, the Heavenly Father gives us in his word a variation on his name. And so we have really three variations on the name from the Old Testament. We have Yahuwah, we have Yahuwah, and we just have plain Yah. Imagine that. Three variations on the name. So, if you're still comfortable with saying Jehovah and you can't seem to move your lips beyond that, that's fine with me. If the best you can do is the Lord, or even God, I'm going to ask you, try to favor Father, you know, because that's what our Messiah called him all the time. I don't recall one occasion. However, you know, it's kind of hard because all I have is the King James that was translated from the Greek. And I'm pretty sure that the Messiah didn't speak Greek because he was there, his own words, and you know, as we have them transmitted to us, I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, Daniel's 70th week, he was there to complete it. And I'm pretty sure that he was speaking in the language of the house of Israel. He probably knew Greek too. They had transmitted the Old Testament into Greek for the most part, some almost 300 years prior to the coming of the Messiah, as we have it recorded. So he might have learned Greek, because Greek was fairly the language of the nations at that time, you know, even used by the Roman Empire. So there you have it. And another indication, you know, all this hubbub about, you know, now we can't say certain English words, like we can't say God or we can't say Lord. And some people go as far as to say that you're worshiping Baal when you say those words. I don't think so. You know, I've thoroughly studied the English word Lord, and basically it only means the same thing that Adonai means in Hebrew. It is the correct translation of the word Adonai into English. And God is the correct translation of the Hebrew word Elohim into English. And it's okay to speak English. If you want to say Hebrew words, you know, that's fine too. There's no law against it. But to condemn others for not doing it, now that's wrong. And this is signified by the Holy Ghost himself. I have a sign. I have a sign from God, and it's in the Word. And when Pentecost came, and the Spirit fell down in the crowds, yes, and there were more than just Hebrews there, there were people from other nations. And it's recorded there that though the disciples were speaking in Hebrew and ministering to their Hebrew nation, everyone who came from another nation and spoke a different tongue, they all heard in their own tongue the word that was being spoken, the gospel, on Pentecost. Now, if that's not a sign from our Heavenly Father, then I don't know what is, that it's okay to speak your own language. If you want to learn Hebrew, you know, or Paleo Hebrew or whatever, you got all kinds of fancy terms these days. That means just old Hebrew. That's all Paleo means. It means old Hebrew. That's fine if you want to do that. But there are some signs from the Word of God that it's all right. You don't have to continue to speak English. And that's what I choose to do. However, I do have this thing about names. And I'm not going to translate all the names, you know, except as a note. And I'm not always going to say where it says the Lord. I'm not going to say Yahuwah. I will interchange and interpose those just for the continuity and for the recognition in the language and the nation where I, you know, I live, in the language that I speak and the people that speak around me. I'm not a what they label sacred namer. You have to say it right. And then they research other words like the Lord, and they say, well, Lord comes from Baal, and okay. But in English, it's the English equivalent of Adonai, so it's okay. It's okay to speak your own language. We covered that. We got through it. So there's a little aside for you, something I see cropping up all over the place. And, you know, I have no condemnation on anybody. If someone feels they have to do that, you know, they should do it. But I think it's wrong for them to lay a burden on other people if they feel like they have to do extra biblical, extra biblical, I don't know what the right word would be, penance. And penance isn't the right word. That means penalty. Extra biblical, I'll think of a word for it sometime, but the word escapes me right now. But if people want to do, you know, it's like if the Heavenly Father, he went to Paul and he told Paul that he wasn't to remarry or take another wife. And Paul said, I wish that you all could become as I am. And he was talking about his singleness. Now, Paul had been married before. It was a requirement of his position as a Pharisee and a scribe, as a Pharisee specifically. It was a requirement that he be married. So we know that he was married. He could not become a Pharisee without being married, okay? So we know that Paul was married. And we know also that Paul could be remarried. We don't have any clue what happened to his wife. Perhaps he was widowed. Perhaps his wife stayed with his family as she would have if he was called into service or some higher calling by the Heavenly Father. And he would not have forsaken or abandoned his family. His family would have been left with his father's household. However, if he was widowed or if he was not even, he could have, by the law of the Hebrews, by the law of God, as we have it in the Old Testament, taken another wife. And he perhaps could have even been required to take another wife under the law. So when Paul said, expressed the fact that he was remaining single, he was expressing that he had a personal commandment from the Heavenly Father to remain single. And we see that when he expressed that command, he said, for the gospel's sake, I wish that all men could become as I am for the sake of the gospel, because they needed more workers in the gospel and more people that would dedicate their life wholly to it. Now, Paul was an older man. He had already had a married life, and perhaps his children were grown. I just don't know. Or maybe he had no children. We're not given that information. But he was called out for married life for whatever purpose. But he, at the same time, he did not take that personal commandment from the Heavenly Father placed on him and lay it as a burden on others. That's right. And that's what I see a lot of people doing, is they feel conviction to do something in their life, and then they turn around and they want to lay that conviction on others as if it's the law of God, when it is not. And I see an error there, and those people need to repent of that and recognize what they are doing, and it's like a form of Phariseeism and laying extra biblical commandments on others. It's okay if you take them on yourself. If you feel that, like, some people can't have a computer in there, and I've used this illustration before, some people can't have a computer because the Heavenly Father, the Spirit says, pluck it out. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. And that's a commandment. That's right. But just because, say, I can't have a computer, I can't command others to not have computers and make it a law or a requirement for salvation, or judge them whether they are the brethren or not on that simple personal commandment that I have in my life. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website when you get a chance, crosstheborder.org.